serve him and to hear his word. I'll read just a short couple lines of this quote I was listening to. I've listened to this from here several times. Every time you hear a little, depends on, you know, how you're coming at it. You know, you hear certain pieces a different way that you didn't hear it before. I like it when he starts off and he talks about, he goes way back, said, now we're going to go back a million years and let's talk about it. And it was just God. You know, I love those quotes, and you could just listen to those over and over, because, you know, this stuff's been debated by the intellectual and the scholars and stuff for years, and to have a prophet to stand up and tell you that picture, what a blessed people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a man that went to college and studied, and he's going to tell you, this is the prophet of God, and he's going to tell you
mm-hmm.
the same things that have been discussed, you know.
That's right.
So what a blessing. It says, it's a long piece, but just this bit here, he says, well, it's two thoughts. He's talking about man made in the image, but the point I wanted to get to was where he talks about, you know, God knew all things. It says, but of course, we get off this before we get off this question, but I don't want to get too many off the question. See, there's where he made his first man was in his own image. And then God, before there even was a star, knew that this world would be. He knew that I'd be William Branham preaching the gospel from the pulpit, and you would be John Doe listening to it before the world ever began. And if you think about it, it applies to us, it would be reading these quotes right here now. Now that's where people sometimes, the legalists and Calvinists, get all mixed up. See, they say, why? See, this is the reasoning coming in. You know, they say, why was some ordained to be lost? See, that would just invalidate the whole theory, right? You know, why would some ordained to be lost? God's not willing any should perish. He don't want no one to perish. But yet, being God, he knows there's some that won't accept it.
Sorry.
What about that?
Mm-hmm.
See, he had to know the end from the beginning in order to be God.
Mm-hmm.
So that very thing is what makes him, proves that he is to be God. He had to know all things,
mm-hmm.
even that there would be some that wouldn't accept it. So he knew he was going to have some women, so he just made their spirit right there. The Bible said he did in 1:26, made... He created he, him, man in the prefigure, male and female. See, in a prefigure, he made the woman and the man before there was ever formed out of the dust of the earth. And then God made the man, not in his own image. This body's not in the image of God. This body's in the image of beast. That's the flesh body.
That's right.
One couple times, maybe just the order quotes, he said that. Man had a, he might have made a man with a paw that looked like a bear. I think it was, you know, just me speaking, he may have been just exaggerating a little bit just to show you that it was different.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessed people. Thank you that you knew all things, Lord, and if there will be some to accept, you made a way that they could not fail, Lord, that you would predestinate them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Through all these trials of this life and the buffeting of Satan, Lord, that they would stand and come back to you, that you foreknow them in the beginning, Lord. What a blessed people. And let us open our eyes, Lord, to the things that we don't understand, and help us to walk in your light as you are the light, Lord, in all things. And
be with the service tonight, Lord. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, and draw us close to you, and be with those that are sick and suffering, Lord, out in the land, Lord, and the people that we know that we're close to, Lord. May you lead and guide and answer the prayers, Lord. Help us to be a light for you in all things. And we ask these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Sing, I'll be listening for my name. Key of F.
When the Savior calls, I will. Take up your cross and say that you know him. Count the cost, take up the cross, and follow him. Take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Take up the cross every day.
Bread and a fish upon the fire, the
he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Now the Lamb did take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Verse 1.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it is sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth, come and dine.
Amen. What a beautiful picture. Think about the comment Brother Chris made last time there, the bread of life standing there, breaking the bread of life.
Amen.
Amen. Creating that bread again. What a beautiful picture. Amen. That's all right. Let's sing, We Have Come Into His House. This is 499.
We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him. Magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify. magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let's invite Billy Chris to come.
So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on
wishing it wasn't the last time we was going to see Nathan for a while, but we know that it's hard to get good help, and everybody wants them, so but not just help, we enjoy your company, brother, and we appreciate when you come spending time with us, and we're going to miss you, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we go now into the message, Lord, we have sung these songs, Lord, and sometimes it's hard to understand how that we can go for so long, Lord, and sing songs and think they mean a lot to us. And then, Lord, one day we sing them and they mean far more to us than they ever meant. Just like this message, Lord, we can read over things for years and years. And as we read about the two on the way to Emmaus, Lord, how that they missed things, and so many others did for a long time, Lord, we're so thankful that you were mindful of us and you made a way for us, Lord, that we might hear you and come to you when you called, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll call us a little higher tonight in your word, Lord, and you'll bless us, Lord. Bless Brother Nathan as he heads back later this week. Bless the families there in those churches, Lord, the ones that are coming out, Lord, finding that they need you and that they didn't have you and they want you, Lord. May they find you, Lord, and you draw them to you. We ask it now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And all right. You can be seated. We have a spectator over here by the door, but she'll get tired and walk off in just a little bit. I like to have the door open. I don't like it shut. So we're going to go into a little different subject tonight. I was looking at it this past weekend, and as you could tell, I couldn't help but starting to mention some of it on Sunday. And so I had mentioned this quote, or mentioned the thought that there was the bread breaking the bread a long time ago. And when I mentioned it, I had mentioned that there had to be something there, you know, there had to be something to that. And as I was praying, I saw some things, and as I started looking at a few quotes, I put message on, started going down the road, and as I was listening to the message and kind of meditating on some things, I'd stop it a while and think about it as I'm driving, And some other things started coming to me. And I got to thinking about those things. And it just kept kind of expanding, you know, more and more. And so I had to talk about it. So I was texting Katrina while she was trying to take care of the baby on Monday, I think it was. But or maybe it was yesterday. I'm not sure when. But I told her, I said, I want to go back through the message and see what Brother Branham said about these things. And so I found more there than I saw going down the road. And so I'm going to start this message with the same quote we've started the last two messages with. But I can't get away from that thought about the spiritual multiplication. And the more I thought about it, Brother Branham said, you know, when Jesus took that bread and he started with them loaves, you know how many it was? It was five, which was grace. And he was grace. And he was the bread. And Brother Branham said he grabbed one of them, he called them biscuits. And he said he broke a piece off and he gave it out. And when he reached back, it had grown back. And he broke it off again and gave it out. And when he reached back, it had grown back. And I could not get past that by the spiritual multiplication. You know, here he was. Brother Bram said he multiplied the creation. And I always wondered, did he take one biscuit and run it through 1,000 people and then grab another one? Or Brother Bram said he grabbed the same biscuit and he kept just breaking it off. And when he got done, they said they picked up 12 baskets full of bread. So, and let's just start here and just read this quote again for some background. And that's why he said to Adam, before sex was ever introduced, multiply to replenish the earth. And when he was yet in the beginning, when he was yet both male and female in himself. Remember, this is the seed chapter. There shows then, when he said this to Adam, when Adam was both male and female, that showed then that the bride has got to come from the word by spiritual multiplication. And multiplications, see, replenishing the earth. All right, so let's take that thought and let's go over here and look at what he said here. And calling Jesus on the scene. Then it might have been, young John said, you know, I tell you, what made it real to me, he had them all standing around having a little testifying session. All the disciples were all standing around and they were talking about Jesus and what made it real to them. And they were like testifying. And so Brother Branham is telling that story. I'll tell you what made it real to me. That day when he broke the bread, how we was all hungry, and he had went out into the wilderness, and we couldn't find him, and there we met him. Now, he went out into the wilderness. He went away. He went out into the wilderness after they had beheaded John. He went away into the wilderness. Doesn't say why, but he did. That's when he went away, and that's when the multitudes come after him. And when he went away, they beheaded John, and the disciples went back to get his body and bury him. And while they were away to do that, he had left. And they come trying to find him. And they found him, and the multitudes found him. And all the multitudes came around, and the first thing you know, we find him saying, send them away to the city and get some food. And he told us to feed them. So they had said, let's send him away to the city. And he said, he told them to feed them. In other words, they told them, they was wanting Jesus to tell them to go home and eat. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. We'll feed them. And they said, we don't have enough money to feed them. And they said, well, this kid, he has some loaves. And he told us to feed them then. And he got those five biscuits and two little fish, and he broke that bread. And I noticed his hand. When he'd reach back for another piece of bread, the biscuit was growed out again. And then he reached back, put it out in a plate, then reached back, and the fish growed out again. The Brother Branham said, not just fish, but cooked fish, he said. Not the regular fish, but it was cooked, see, already growed back. Cooked fish was growed back. Now, here we're going to go into two places. Well, we're going to get, let's get this first, and then we're going to go into two places where Brother Branham talked about modern events made clear by prophecy. He preached one in Jeffersonville, and one was like the second or third message before he went off the scene. And I want to show you what he talked about in this. But let us not forget that in the beginning, when he smote the side of Adam, he took something from his side. Now, the smiting of Christ was for a cause, that he might take from him one to be a family. He's going to take from Christ the one to be the family, the bride. He might take him a bride. So when his masterpiece was perfected, and he had to smite it to take from him, not another piece. See, he struck a piece off of that one. Not another piece, not another creation, but of the same creation. Amen. My brother, don't think bad at this, but think a minute. If he took from him the original creation to make the bride for him, he never made another creation. He took a part of the original creation. Now you see how special it is to be the bride, yes, that this message is to. Right. See, this is to the brethren. He took the brethren. He took the bride out of his side. He took a part of the original creation. Then if he was the Word, what must the bride be? It's got to be the original Word. Living God in the Word. What's the original Word? The living God in the Word. And that's what Jesus was. The living God in the Word. Brother Branham said he was the manifested Word walking around quoting the Word, the letter, he said. Kimberley, South Africa, once I was looking at diamonds, how they was brought up out of the ground. And I seen them laying there as well. The superintendent of the plant or the mine was one of my ushers in the prayer line. And I noticed the diamonds valued at tens of thousands of dollars piled together. But they didn't sparkle, even under the light. And I said to the superintendent of the mine, I said, why don't they sparkle? He said, sir, they haven't been cut yet. They must be cut. Then when they're cut, then they reflect the light. See, he's still talking about being smote off of Jesus, being cut so that you might reflect the light. There you are. The masterpiece must be cut. Because cut for what? Is the piece cut off? No, no, the piece that's cut off, it's made a Victrola needle. And the Victrola needle is put upon a record that's unseen music to the world. See, the piece that's off, see. The needle is put upon a record. See, that piece that come off was the only one could play that record. That predestination. He's talking about the predestination that was put there before the foundation of the world. And when he smote a needle, smote the diamond, and this diamond come off, it was to play that predestination and bring it to the world. The Victrola needle is put upon a record that's unseen music to the world. But the needle is what brings it out. Brings out the true interpretation of the Word. Just like we've been talking about, the Spirit coming to the Word, bring it to life. His life matched all the people's. It pleased God to smite him. And now, why did he smite him? For the same cause he had to smite Adam. Now we see him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now remember, Jesus was the bread. And he was, Brother Branham said he was took to the cross and tore apart on the cross for us. Now, he's with the bread, and he was taken to the cross and torn apart. And when he was torn apart and died, what happened? The veil was rent. And so in the breaking of the bread, Jesus, the tearing apart of him, what did it do? It brought all of those prophecies to pass. He'd already been bringing them to pass, but in the breaking, it brought them all to pass. Now, we see him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, the perfect lamb for sinners slain, a perfect masterpiece. Now, for nearly 2,000 years, God has been making him a masterpiece because he struck Adam to get a man, or M-A, dot, 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 a piece off of him, part of him, a rib to make a wife for him. And now, that perfect masterpiece that he struck at Calvary, now he just typed it there. He just pointed back at Adam. And now that perfect masterpiece that he struck at Calvary, he got a piece off of him. It's just the New Testament. See, he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and he struck a piece off of him, and that was the New Testament, he said. It's just the New Testament, that's all. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Now it's the New Testament, another piece to be fulfilled. You see, the only way for the bride to be fulfilled was in Christ and in the manifestation of him, because she was to be struck from him. See, the new and old is husband and wife. And it taken the new, the old to foreshow the new. Christ come, the masterpiece, to fulfill that. Now his bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. She's going to have to fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. They didn't do it back there. She's got to. That's what he said. He's been 2,000 years in the making. His bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. Another masterpiece is in the making. Has it taken him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece? Now he's been nearly 2,000 years making another masterpiece. It wasn't made back there. He's been 2,000 years making it. For nearly 2,000 years, making another masterpiece. A bride for Christ, another masterpiece. In so doing it, he does it by his never-changing method. The same way he made the masterpiece. The same way he's going to make this masterpiece is the same way he made that one. And how was that it come? Through the words of the prophet. It come first for that covenant with Abraham. The I am, the unconditional grace covenant. And then Jesus fulfilled that. Now, the same way that he made the masterpiece, his word. That's the way he makes his masterpieces. All the masterpieces are made off of the word. And the word was made manifest in Christ. So we're all made off of that. That's the way he makes his masterpiece. Because he can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's the perfect word. He can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's the perfect word. That's the only time. And there's only ever been that one. And then we're made from him. Amen. Because he can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's the perfect word. Amen. All right, so that perfect bread was broken so that you might be perfect bread to someone else. Without that perfect bread being broken, you can't be that bread as a witness to someone else. Brother Bram said, as he died to make us free, let us die so that other men may be free. It brings the same results. All the bread came off of that same piece. Every time he broke it, it came off that same piece. It's turned. That doesn't mean Jesus died 5,000 times. I'm not saying nothing like that. I'm just saying it was a type, all right? Let's turn to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. All right, now this is the first events made clear by prophecy, Jeffersonville, Indiana. And this message, he goes and gets this scripture here. And I wanted to read this whole scripture, so I included this part here to begin it. So he's reading out of Luke 24. It's on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. All right. Then Peter arose, and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down and beheld the linen clothes, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. You know, I just thought, poor Peter, he just denied him a few days before that. And you had to know them 3 days had to be hard on that brother. You think about it. God had told him, Jesus had told him, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter. And he did. And then, but see, Peter hadn't run away. Peter had just, as soon as he heard this word, he ran down there. You think about it. He denied him 3 times. And Peter, when he heard this, he went running to go see. And when Brother Bram says that, you know, when we hear the word, we run to it. And at the same time, Brother Bram said, when you see something that looks like Satan, you jump back from it. You don't casually step aside. You don't, well, I wonder what that's doing there. He said, you get away from it right then. And it's too many people in this world thinks that they don't have to listen to that part of the word. And behold, two of them went. Okay, so Peter, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Now, I don't know how many other scriptures mention how far a city is away, but I found this very interesting, that of all the times they talk about, they mention this time how far it is away. And 10 furlongs is about a mile and a quarter. And Brother Bram says it's about a mile, so we'll take his definition. So it's 60 furlongs. Now, it takes 10 furlongs to make a mile, so it was about 6 miles. Now, yeah, everything that's said has a purpose. Don't forget that. And as they walked, as they talked together, these two that was on the road to Emmaus, these things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So here he is, they're on this 6 mile journey. Brother Ram said, it's going to take about 6 hours. He said they listened to a 6 hour sermon. So when did Jesus join them? He joined them right at the beginning of their journey. And it's when they first joined him, they didn't know who he was. See? That they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, saying unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not thou known these things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Now remember, this is Jesus himself, risen, talking. Mm-hmm. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. This is them telling this who he is. They're telling him who he is. This is how they know him. He's asked them. This is the start of their journey, and this is how they know him at the start of this journey. This is how they saw him. He's a mighty prophet. He's a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And he'd just done it. And he's walking beside of them. Now you think about this. He's listening to them. He's not going to tell them who he is. Brother Bram said he's going to let the word talk to them. Just like he let the word talk to John. When John, after John said, this is him, he got to the prison and he sent some people go look for Jesus and tell him, ask him if he's the one. Yeah. Brother Bram said his eagle eye filmed over. And he said, go tell John what you see. That's all he had to tell John. He knew. And so Brother Bram said, that's what he's going to do here. But we trusted that he had been he which would redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also, so this had happened this morning. And they were taking this 6 hours, so this was fresh. It hadn't happened long. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they also seen a vision of angels that said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now listen to Jesus, he said. So they've told him the whole thing. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe. But he didn't walk off and leave them, did he? No. No, they were sad. They were walking on this road, and they were thinking about him, and he walked up. Nothing in the scripture is by accident. Then said he unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You got the prophet's words. You saw the prophet's words. But you won't believe what they say. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The one who did it is standing there telling them this. And they still don't know who he is. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them all, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Didn't tell them they were him, but and they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. Now, Brother Bram makes it much bigger, so we'll see. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sights. And they said one to the other, did not our hearts burn within us? See, all along while he was preaching to them about the prophets, their hearts were on fire for 6 hours while he was preaching to them. That's what Brother Bram said. It was a 6-hour trip. But they didn't know him until he broke the bread to them. the scriptures, it really done something to them. But they didn't know him until he broke the bread to them and gave it to them. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. And when they were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon." And they told. And when they were with them, say, has appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how that he was known to them by breaking of bread. On down in that same message, Brother Brown expounds on this story. So he even gives us the scriptures that Jesus was going over with them. Let's just go back a few minutes. And now let's listen to the words quoted from himself. Watch here. The word itself quoting the word of himself. The manifested word is quoting the word to them about him. Now don't forget that the title of this message is Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. And he went back to get this one to show how that those events were made clear by the prophecies. And he goes and he shows how Jesus pointed out those prophecies and did not tell them, I'm this one, I'm making this happen. That was the Lord was going to show people that. So he's using that to bring it home, to bring it today. Let's go back a few minutes, and now let's listen to the words quoted from himself. Watch here. The word itself quoting the word of himself. The word itself quoting the word of himself. That is astounding. Not tell them that he was that. Now don't miss this. He's pointing this out. What Jesus didn't do. Not tell them that he was that. But just let the word speak for itself. Then they know who he was. The letter of the word, quoting the word in flesh, quoting the word of the letter, being fully identified with himself. Look here. Now you think about this, because Brother Branham said that this bride in the last day is going to be able to point into scriptures like this because of what he does in her. Not what she does, what he does in her. Look here. Now, let's listen to him quote. Now, we know that they were all briefed of the late happenings, that is, of the crucifixion, of the story of the resurrection, the tomb, as we just read. Now, he goes straight to the word of prophecy about himself. Now, let's just think that he said this. He said a lot more than this, but watch. All it said in the Bible, we just read it, was he started at the prophets and expounded to them. And Brother Branham said he said a lot more than this, but watch. Let's say hear him say, turn over to Zechariah 11:12. And wasn't the Messiah to be sold according to the prophet for 30 pieces of silver? You just said that this man was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now he's talking to these, to Cleopas and the other brother on the way, and this is what he's telling them. Doesn't the scripture say he's going to be sold for 30 pieces? And didn't you tell me this man was sold for 30 pieces? Now turn over, he says, to Zechariah 11:12. Then he said, did you notice that David said in the Psalms, Psalm 41:9, he was to be betrayed by his friends. And then again in Zechariah 13:7, he was forsaken by his disciples. And in Psalms, accused by false witnesses. You just said he was. Yes. He was dumb before his accusers. They scourged him. He was to cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did he do that day before yesterday afternoon? This is the man who did it. Is telling them this. And they still don't know who he is. But their hearts are burning. It's having an effect. See? Psalms 22 again. 18. His garments were parted among them. Did they do that? Psalms 22, 7 to 8. Mocked by his enemies, the church. Psalms 22 again. There was not a bone in his body to be broke, but they pierced my feet, my hands, and my feet. He said, holding his hands behind him, no doubt, at the time. Isaiah 35, 12 said, he would die between two malefactors. Isaiah 53, 9 said he was buried with the rich. Psalm 16, 10 said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And was not Malachi 3 the forerunner of this man? Amen. Oh, I'd like to have heard him quote that. Look at the prophecies. Notice then all the types he might have went through about Isaac in Genesis 22. How God foreshadowed Isaac. How Father Abraham took his own son, packing the wood up the hill, and offered up his own son. It was now beginning to soak into them. He had done told them they were fools for not looking at the prophecy for that day. And now it began to soak in, began to see the fulfilling of all this that had taken place in the last few days, in the last 2 or 3 years, the vindicated prophecy of the age. Remember, this is about the events made clear by prophecy, modern events. It was then that they knew that their crucified friend Jesus had fulfilled every word of this. When their hearts were burning in it, when they didn't know who he was, but they knew Jesus was the one, had fulfilled every word of this. Oh, it was then that they know that that man truly was the Messiah. That man. This man they still didn't know. You see how they started their journey? Looking at him as he was a mighty prophet. See, this is how they're ending the journey. Oh, it was then that they know that that man truly was that Messiah. That he should raise from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him. I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. There's not one of prophecy can ever fail. One word of prophecy can ever fail. I mean, you think about that. They'd never thought about that scripture in that way. I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And then this is the third day and he's gone. They never put it together. But now the Holy Spirit is putting it together for them. There's not one word of prophecy can ever fail. And he did raise. Then that messenger's down at the tomb this morning was right. You think about it, brother. They just heard this morning. And they were sad just a few hours ago. And now they're realizing everything that's taken place. Exactly what it is that's taking place. Brother Branham is bringing this so beautiful because he's going to start pointing at today here in just a minute. But he's pointing it back there and he's making it alive for people. Then that messenger's down at the tomb this morning was right. This is them thinking. He is risen from the dead. He is alive. He is that Messiah. Why? Don't fail it. His action, his ministry, and everything he's done has been vindicated exactly the words that the prophet said would take place for this day. Think about it. He switched gears there real quick on us. Because he said, and he said, he that is Messiah, why? Don't fail it. His action, his ministry, and everything he's done has been vindicated exactly the words that the prophet said would take place for this day. That's done it. Then they knowed it was him, their crucified friend, Jesus, that had done it. No wonder their hearts. See, their crucified friend. They knew it was him then. Even though he was standing right there, they knew that was him. But they still didn't know him because he was standing right beside of them. This is the journey that they're taking. No wonder their hearts burned within them as he walked to them. Talked to them. Now they had walked 6 miles, and it seemed like a short time. And here's another thing they had done, you know. They had heard a 6-hour sermon on the prophecy being vindicated. That's what he talked to them along the road. Just as soon as they started down the road, he stepped out. He's pointing these things out, and there's no way this is by accident. I don't believe it. As soon as they started down the road to Emmaus, he stepped out. For he was straight there in Jerusalem. 6 hours later, 60 furlongs, they were right down the road, 6 miles to Emmaus. That's what it was, what it is. And he had preached confirmed prophecy for 6 hours. Christ had confirmed prophecy for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. Prophecy that had already took place. Yes. He's confirming it. Don't condemn me on my three then, you see. But notice, they had preached. They had heard a 6-hour sermon on prophecy being confirmed, vindicated. Now, it was getting along towards evening time. 6 hours had went by. So we're in the 7th hour now, and it's getting evening time, he says. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was then that he opened their eyes to know, in the 7th hour. It was then that he opened their eyes to know that Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. At the evening time, events are made clear by the prophecy. At the evening time. He said that was the morning time. The first time Jesus come was the morning time, but him talking to them later in the day, it was in the evening time is when he made himself known to them. They didn't know the whole time, although they knew of him. And knew and was thinking about him now and all the things that had happened. At the evening time, events are made clear by the prophecy. What's taking place in the modern hour can be easily identified if you'll just believe the prophecy of the hour. It can be easily identified if you'll just believe the prophecy of the hour. Yes. Fools, slow of understanding, slow to believe, you keep pondering over it. And they're still doing it. They're still pondering over it. Did the seventh seal open? Was this this and was that that? Arguing day and night. They're still pondering over it. Slow to believe, you keep pondering over it. To believe that all the prophets said about the Messiah, wouldn't it have to happen? Now he checked these points all back and showed what the prophet said would happen. Then they began to understand. Now what did Brother Branham do? He's pointed out over and over and over. If he was here, what would he do? He'd do this. He said when he'd come back, this would happen. And this would happen. Then they began to understand. So he said, act like he was going to go on by. They liked this band. They said, "You give us something. We never thought that. He is alive somewhere." They was talking to him. They were so grateful to this man that he pointed this out, that yes, he was alive somewhere. They were talking to him, didn't know it. So he, and no doubt, he looked at them sadly, and he started to walk on by. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for them to invite him. That's what he's waiting tonight, for you to invite him. Notice, when those disciples invited him in to their fellowship around the table, it was then that he done something just like he done it before his crucifix. And their eyes came open. They knowed his manner, his style. They knowed what he done. And he did it then just like he did it before. Now, he keeps going back and talking about Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He talks about the same sun that's in the morning light is the same sun at the evening light. And all these different things he's talking about. And he did it then just like he did it before. And they said, "That's him." And quickly they raised up to scream it out. They saw it. When he broke the bread and gave it to them, they saw it. And he vanished. And where they took 6 hours to listen to this sermon, maybe 20 minutes they were light-footed back to tell the rest of them, "He is risen indeed. He is really alive." Amen. So later in that year, Brother Branham preaches this again. And, well, I don't know if he titled it the same. We'll see what he titled this other one here. It's something to do with events. So hold on to this one. I thought that was a little closer back. Okay, so he said events made clear by prophecy here, but later in the year he called it modern events made clear by prophecy. And you'll see why here in a minute, I think. Because he really takes this out, takes it home. Paragraph 284. It was now that they began to see who had fulfilled these scriptures that was promised of that day. Now he's talking about they're still on the road here in this part of the story. It was then, after it was late, they began to see. Oh, well, wait a minute. You know what? They knew then that their crucified friend, Jesus, was that prophet that was promised. They knew because, see, they hadn't been briefed on the scriptures. But here, all these things that's supposed to happen at the cross, all these things, fools, slow of heart to understand, all the prophets have said how that the Messiah shall suffer and enter into his glory and raise the third day. Still, they go, "Oh yeah, that's right. See, I see. He did not our hearts burn within us?" They said, no wonder their heart burned. The prophecies that he was given that was fulfilled. Then they began to understand that their friend, the man that they had eat with, talked with, associated with, fished with, laid in the woods, that fulfilled every word of the promise hour. There it is. There it was. They had walked 6 miles. It seemed a very short time, I suppose. And they had heard a six-hour sermon on vindicated promise, prophecy, a little longer than what we had tonight, see. It was now getting kind of late in the evening time. The evening lights had come. It's the same time now, church. The evening lights has come. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to say, I'm him, I'm him, I'm him. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And that's exactly what Brother Branham done. He said, when he comes back in this day, he's going to do this. When this is fulfilled, this is what's going to happen. The evening light promised by the prophet of God. In Zechariah 14:7, if you have a chance to go read Zechariah, look at what else is in there. I'm going to include a little bit more here in a minute. But Zechariah, what he's referring to is talking about the day is neither day nor night. There'll be light. Oh, events made clear by prophecy, same today. The evening light promised by the prophet of God in Zechariah 14:7. May again open the true believer's eyes to the events that's taking place today. That's proved by the prophecies that we're at the end time. Jesus is coming. He said, there will be a day that won't be called day or night. Now he's quoting from Zechariah. He said, but in the evening it shall be light. Now, we know geographically the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Now, the prophet said there'll be a long stretch of time that'll be dismal, kind of couldn't be called day or night. It's kind of a dark, gloomy day. Now, where did the sun rise? That was S-O-N we're talking about now. That the natural S-O-N rises in the east and sets in the west. The very same God, very same sun, rather, and the S-O-N of God rose in the east to the eastern people. And, it sets in the west. But I tacked on this one here because I thought this was interesting, because in that same scripture where he's talking about it being evening light, in that day, the evening light day, it shall be light about the evening time. Same prophet, talking about Zechariah. I mean, he's talking about today, Brother Branham. And the people is blind. It shall be light around about the evening time. Same prophet. And the people is blind. What's the attraction? Let's read a couple more verses. So he goes back to Zechariah. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half towards the hinder sea, in the summer and the winter shall it be, the gospel going forth both to Jew and to Gentile. In this day when it's light in the evening time, that's when this is happening. Go back and read that scripture. And the Lord shall be king over the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And we know who has his name. That means we're going to be one with him. Amen. And that's exactly what he said so many other places. But I didn't want to hold you a long time on that, but we got some more, I think, on that. But we'll come back to it. I know y'all are tired. Everybody's tired on Wednesday, and I work my schedule around so that I don't have to drive to Charlotte and back on Wednesday. I do it on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, so I can not have to do that drive. But this message is so good. I mean, it's there. Brother Branham said in the unveiling of God that he brings things in a way so that it will cause some people to go away from it. It's because they weren't ordained. Brother Graham, he said something to in the 5,000, and they left after they'd eat. After they'd watched him multiply the food, he says something a little odd, and they just walk off. And then he says something to the 70, and they left. But the other ones, they stayed there. And so they weren't dependent on this. They just knew somehow that this was God, and they want to stay right by it as much as they could. And we know that this message that's been brought to us in this hour, that's God. And when people, Brother Bram said, they're still pondering it. When he said that, I thought, how many times in the message, you hear people talk about, oh, you take it back to the scripture. That's like telling Jesus to take it back to the scripture when Jesus was standing right there. That was, Brother Bram said, that the prophet can't say his own words. Do we believe that? People don't believe it. They say, go take it back to the scripture. Well, when you get back to the scripture, if you don't take it back to the prophet, you ain't going to know what it said. And so this is the biggest bunch of nonsense. They don't believe who the prophet is. They're still pondering it. And then Satan will give them all kind of other little things. He'll be like, well, yeah, that's the truth. He was the prophet, and he's this and he's that. But this hadn't happened, and this hadn't happened, and this didn't take place, and this over here. And Brother Branham just laid it out for us, exactly how it took place and how it was taken and was happening. And if people want it, Brother Branham, as Jesus told the Lord when he was praying, thank you, Lord, that you hid it from the wise and the prudent and give it to babes such as will learn. Not try to work it out and interpret it. You know, if you boil that statement down, he said, thank you, Lord, for those who would just believe what's said and not try to make it happen. You know that? That's what it says. That's what he said. Don't try to make it happen. You believe it and you walk in it. God will make it happen. He's his own interpreter. Brother Bram said that he will always stand by his word. And if you're standing by his word, then Brother Bram said he's obligated to make it happen. And so everybody gets this thing, they're going to, you know, I hear so many times people talking about manifested sons of God and talking about third pole ministries and all this other stuff, how that they're going to go do these things, they're going to do all these things, and they're going to speak the words and all these. I'm fine with that, as long as the Lord says it. As long as you follow it, just like Paul, and you wait till Paul says, say it. I mean, God says, Paul, say it. Right. Jesus, go down here and heal this one. Don't go do this one. You get up and you walk. It isn't like you don't go through your life. You just, Brother Bram said, it ain't like he said you and he got to mash you through stuff. That's not it. You just go about doing whatever. I don't know what Samson was doing that day he was out there and all them Philistines come up out of nowhere. But God knew right where he'd be when they done that, and he had a jawbone waiting on him. And so you just keep walking, and the Lord will bring the word to pass. We don't try to make it come to pass. You remember that song we were singing before service? He said, what was it? Give up and let Jesus take over. You see, it isn't that you give up on the right kind of life coming forth from you. It isn't that you give up on that. It's you give up trying to make it happen yourself. And if you really, truly give up on that, and you still are a Christian, then you're looking for him to do it. Your trust is completely in him that he's going to do it. And just like those Hebrew children, the examples that God gives us in the Bible are so clear. Once we be still and know that I am God. That's what he said. Let's go. Let's stand. Don't have a song tonight. If anybody's got one they want to sing, let me know. If Michael wants to sing one, he can. I'll try to help.
Do the wedding supper.
Okay. Let's see if I can. We got the words in the
I think it's in the red books.
In the red books. I thought I saw that in there the other night too.
Third page from the back.
Third from the back. A mystery, if you listen, I will tell about we eagles who on earth now dwell. We ate the food that man had once prepared in churches here, well organized with care. Now we're in the wedding supper in the sky. We're nigh home with Jesus, you and I. We sing redemption story, here is why. 'Cause we're in the wedding supper in the sky. One day from up above we heard a cry. A mighty bird screamed loud as he did fly. Come out of her, my people, saith the Lord, and feast alone on Christ the living Word. We're in the wedding supper in the sky. We're now home with Jesus, you and I. We sing redemption story, here is wine. We're in the wedding supper in the sky. We earthbound eagles raised our wings and fly, and flew to Christ the Lord with all our might. Our wedding supper's rapture in the sky. We're now his queen and reign with him on high. We're in the wedding supper in the sky. We're nigh home with Jesus, you and I. We sing redemption story, here is wine. 'Cause we're in the wedding supper in the sky. We earthbound eagles have been gathered home. No more on dusty ground we have to roam. We've flown up high into this holy place, where in his likeness we can see his face. Now we're in the wedding supper in the sky. We're nigh home with Jesus, you and I. We sing redemption story, here is wine. 'Cause we're in the wedding supper in the sky. We've settled down with Jesus, this is true. The bread and wine we eat with him anew. Yes, at this banquet table we now eat, and lay our trophies down at our Lord's feet. Now we're in the wedding supper in the sky. We're nigh home with Jesus, you and I. We sing redemption story, here is why. 'Cause we're in the wedding supper in the sky. Amen. We'll be dismissed now in the word of prayer. We're going to go Friday. So y'all are planning to go there Friday for Brother Michael's? I mean for Brother Nathan's? Okay. All righty. We'll see y'all. Okay. All right. All right. We'll see y'all Friday then. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you opened the word to us, Lord. And Lord, it's great enough to be like those on the road of Emmaus, Lord, and our hearts burning within us. But Lord, the day that we're living is when you're breaking the bread and giving it to us. And we're knowing you as you're right here with us, Lord, even in us. Lord, in a much greater way. Lord, we're so thankful for that. We could never express it enough. And Lord, may you go with us from here tonight. May you gather us back together when they get back home. And Lord, may you keep them on the road as they take Brother Nathan back home. And Lord, may you give them a good time with their family there. May you bless us, Lord, as we go along the way. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So.